This week's parsha is Parshas Kisetze. At the end of the parsha, right before the parsha of Amalek, Parsha Zachar, we have a short parsha that speaks about maintaining in one's home and one's business honest weights and measures. And the pasuk says, Lo yeh lecha bekischa even va'oven, kedai lo ketana. One should not have in his pouch a weight and a weight, even va'oven, gedayla uketana, big and small. What does that mean? That means that when I am doing business and I want to measure things in business, sometimes you have a business that involves things of weight. So let's say if I have a takeout store, and you have to measure how much coleslaw is being sold in a thing for Shabbos, so then it all goes by weight. You put it on a scale. In the olden days, they didn't have the electric scales that we have today. They had scales that were based on weights. And sometimes, if a person is dishonest, if a business owner is dishonest, they would put a heavier weight when selling something, and a lighter weight when buying something. I think that's right. And they would switch weights, meaning a pound is not a pound. A pound is whatever the weight is. So if I have a heavier 1.3 pounds or 1.03 pounds, I'll use that to sell, and I'll use the other one that's 0.97 of a pound to buy. And that's very dishonest, right? A person has to have a standard whole weight. A pound should be a pound. And if a person doesn't have that, then that is being dishonest in business. Lo yeh lecha beveischa eifa va'eifa gedai lo ketana. And in your house, you should not have a measure and a measure, a large one and a small one. Again, the same idea about having different weights, different measures in one's house. So what should you have? Even shlema v'tzedek yelach. You should have a perfect and honest weight. That's what you should have. A pound stone should be a pound. A 2 pound stone should be 2 pounds. It shouldn't be in any way off. Not for one in one direction, not in the other direction. Leman yaricho eifa shlema v'tzed yelach, and you should have a whole measure. And if you have these weights and measures that are honest, the pasuk promises you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds this to be an abomination. If a person has different measures, that is abominable in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the parsha of Amalek follows, and of course Rashi says that im shakarta b'midais v'mishkalos havidayeg migira ayev. If you are dishonest in business, that's the connection. You have to be afraid because the ayev will come and attack. And we have this from a hekesh in a pasuk that he brings from Mishlei. We know that everyone's name is merumez in the Torah. Every single person in this room and every yid, his name is somewhere alluded to in the Torah. And obviously, it's very hard to know where your name is alluded to in the Torah. There were great Gedolei Yisrael that were able to tell this. The Ramban is a famous maaseh with the Ramban. The Ramban had a Talmud by the name of Avner. And this Avner was a person that he started off good, and then he went off the derech a little bit. And the Ramban was saying where people's names were found in the Torah, and he says, "Rabbi, where's my name?" And he points to a pasuk in Hazino, Amarti Afayim. I said I will scatter them. Ashpisa Mer Zichram. I'm going to destroy their name, their memory from the world. And he points out how in those names, Amarti, Afayim, the name Avner is spelled out in those names, in those words. And they say that Avner I was so like upset by this and nervous about this that, you know, that his memory is going to be scattered and he's not going to be, and he's going to be spread to the ends of the world, that he went on a boat and he went to some far-flung island, and that's where he spent the rest of his days, and he did tshuva. And the Ramban knew where people's names were mentioned like that. It's a great art to know. If a person would know where his name is mentioned, you'd probably be able to learn a lot about that person or about ourselves from that remez. And the one of the people in history that had this ability, this uncanny ability to know exactly where their name was remez, was the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon said that in Sefer Devarim, Sefer Devarim is where the current events that were taking place are, because he says that every Sefer, Bereshis, corresponds, as we know, to the first millennia of history, and Sefer Shemais, the second millennium, and so all the things that were going to be happening throughout history is in each parasha of the Torah based on the century of that millennia. And he said basically that he was found in, and his generation was found in this parasha, Parashas Ki Tzeitz. And they asked, where is Rebbe's name found? Where is the Vilna Gaon's name, Merum, is in this parasha, in Parashas Ki Tzeitz? And he said that in this parasha that we just read together, when it says, Evan Shlema Yelach, that you should have a weight that's whole, that Evan Shlema is a remez to Eliyahu, the letter Aleph, and Evan is Eliyahu, then Ben, the son of Shlema. Eliyahu is the Vilna Gaon, and his father's name was Shlema, or Shlema Zalman. Zalman is really a Yiddish of Shlema, Solomon. Zalman is Solomon. So Shlema Zalman is really the same word. So Evan Shlema is, Evan is Eliyahu Ben, Shlema is Shlema. And that's where my name is Merumas, says the Vilna Gaon. Just as a cute anecdote, when Rav Pam was once saying over this remez that the Vilna Gaon had about where his name was found in the Torah, there were two Talmidim in the back of Rav Pam's classroom that were like whispering to each other and like smiling. And, you know, that's always annoying for Rabbeim whenever there's like these two, these two kibitzers in the back of the class. And Rav Pam said probably what I would say, you want to share with the rest of the class what's so funny? And what are you talking about? And the boy said that Rebbe's name, meaning Rav Pam's name, is also Merumas in this parasha. He says, really? Well, where is that? So he says, it says Evan Shlema, that's the Vilna Gaon. And then it says Ve'efa Shlema. You should have a whole measure. And Efa is Avram Yaakov Pam Hakayin. Avram Yaakov Pam, that's Efa Shlema. So you have the Vilna Gaon, you have Rav Pam, and Rav Pam, the story goes, smiled, and he had like hana from that. Now, we'll discuss exactly in a second why the Vilna Gaon's name, perhaps, we don't know, but why the Vilna Gaon's name was Merumas Dafka in Evan Shlema. It has to make some sense, right? It's not like, if you have your name Merumas in a certain place, that probably speaks to you. And I don't know if the Vilna Gaon was not a merchant, the Vilna Gaon did not have a takeout restaurant. I don't know why the Vilna Gaon, Lefi Pshuta, would need to have his name Merumas in this pasuk about honest weights and measurements, Evan Shlema. By the way, the Vilna Gaon, one of the svarim that were written about the Vilna Gaon, it's really a collection of the Vilna Gaon's brilliance, Musar, is called Evan Shlema. And if you're wondering why it's called Evan Shlema, now you know, because his name is Merumas in the Torah and the words Evan Shlema. Before we get to explaining why Rav Pam would be Merum, why the Vilna Gaon would be Merumas in this, first I want to just take a little bit of a detour and explain something very sadistic about this parsha about Midas and Mishkalas. There's a sefer called Eilas Chaydesh, and he explains why it is that the Torah guarantees Arichas Yamim for keeping honest weights and measures. And he says as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has patience, kaviyachol, and a person only gets paid back from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kishetismale sasa is what the Lashon the Gemara is. When a person reaches a certain level of like he's gone to like the water level mark, and like he's gone over that allotment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has patience for, at that point HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very upset and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays that person back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has patience. He's not going to zap us the second we do something wrong. He'll give us time, but if we keep on going and doing more averis and more averis, we're acting more dishonestly and more wrongly, and it gets to a certain level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then responds, Rachman Alitzan. That's called Ashutismale Sasa. The measurement has to be full. That measuring cup has to be full before HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. Now, that's only true, says the Sefer, if a person himself, his measuring cup is honest. If a person has an honest measuring facility, a way to gauge things, measurements, weights, if everything is honest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps this measure and waits for the measure to be full before he reacts. However, if a person does not keep honest weights and measures, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wait a minute, he has no problem. He has no guilty conscience with messing with measures. So why should I? I'm not gonna be firmer than he is. So with such a person that keeps dishonest weights, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not give Arichas Yom. He will not give the full measure of time, of years, of patience that he would normally give. But for a person that is doing wrong with his measures, so he's not granted that extra liberty of Ashet Smali Sasa and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you do keep honest weights, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you Arichas Yamim, even though you might not always deserve Arichas Yamim because we've done bad. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has patience. He lets like the normal course of events run its course, and then only then will he take his punishment. Now it's interesting that if you look in the parsha, in this short parsha, it says, "Evan shlema v'tzedek yelach." You should have evan shlema. Eifa shlema v'tzedek yelach. You should have evan shlema, eifa shlema as well. It's a little strange, and then it says, "Lo yel lacha beveis chayev eifa." The pasuk keeps on stressing this word lacha. You should not have dishonest measures, an evan that's not shlema, an eifa that. But rather, you should have an evan that's shlema. You should have an evan, an eifa that's shlema. What is this lacha lacha? And I think that the pshat is that the Torah is telling us something very important. That when it comes to other people, if you're doing business with other people and you're dealing with other people, you have to be very careful that you yourself have very meticulous weights and measures that are honest. You're not ripping anyone else off. Let's say, though, somebody is doing something to you that's dishonest or that's not appropriate. What should you do then? Should you be a stickler for that also? Is it important for you to like be very, very super makbid on everything that other people are doling out to you? And I think that the Torah is saying no. Well, yeah, lecha, you have to be careful with your own measures. When you are measuring out for others, you are giving others things, you have to be very careful. Don't be so sure that that's okay. It's not okay. And there's no vitor, there's no, mistama, people are going to not care so much, so I'll be a little bit off. No, you have to be very medaktik, chodasaira, that everything that you're doing is proper. But when people are dealing with you, when you go into a store and somebody is maybe doing something that you feel is a little off, like sometimes I go into like a takeout store, and I want, let's say I ask for a pound of cholent. So obviously they're not going to give me exactly a pound. That's very hard to do on a scale. You can't do exactly a pound. So it'll be, let's say, off by a mashu. That's definitely, but sometimes they give you like, you come home and you see they gave you like 1.25 pounds of cholent. That's like, or 1.5, like that's already, I didn't ask for 1.25 pounds. So don't, you're being very, callous. You're being very like generous on my cheshbon. I didn't ask for that. What are you giving me more? Much, a little bit is okay. That's maybe within the realm of normalcy. But like, so should I go running back to the store and saying, "Hey, buddy, you know, you're ripping me off. Every single person coming into the store here, you're making an extra 25% on people more than they asked. It's not appropriate." So, if you want to do that, you're definitely within your means to do that. But the Torah might be telling us that you, when you're the store owner, then you should be very medactic not to do that. When other people are doing things to you, whether it's in business or whether it's in other things, then you should be able to be mevater. You should be able to give in and not to be so medactic on all of the midas that are being doled out. And this is exactly what Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says on Daf Yud Zayin, Amar Rava, kol ha-maver al midaisav, whoever is maver al midaisav, you're mevater, you're not like such a stickler for everything, you're not like so medactic with every single person, oh, you didn't act nice to me, you weren't so nice, you weren't perfect to me, you didn't do this for me, you didn't do that for me. If a person's more maver al midaisav, I'll be mevater. So then, if you're mavra al midaisa, mavirin le'al kolpshav, then you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be mavra when it comes to you. He's not going to be so medactic on you. You want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mevater when it comes to our din. Rosh Hashanah is coming up. You want HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol to be a little bit more easygoing with us. We have to then be able to be more easygoing with other people. If we're a stickler and we'd be so machbit on every little thing that other people are doing to us, we go crazy over every little minor infraction, then don't be surprised if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same. If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, you know what, he's good, overall he's doing a fine, he is a good yid, he's doing good, okay, is he perfect, was he machbit on every little kutzah shel yid? Maybe not, but we'll overlook some of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do that if you overlook the things that people are doing to you. And look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Hamavra al midaisav she'enai medaktik limdaid mida lemitzarin isai." You're not so medaktik to count a measurement. This is very, Rashi is using very specific lashon. He's not medaktik. The person is not medaktik to measure out a mida lemitzarin. You're causing me tzaris. You're being mitzar me. I'm not going to be such a stickler every little thing to pull out my measuring, you know, stick and make sure that everything that you're doing is perfect. Umeniach midaisav v'haylechla. I'll leave the midas, I'll be mavral midaisav, and I'll keep going. I'm not going to be so overly medactic on everything that people are doing to me. Now, obviously, again, we always have to give a big caveat that, you know, this is not talking about people abusing you. A person should never take abuse from anyone. If a person is bullying, if a person's abusing, if a person's really being, you know, mean and disgusting, then your person should not be mavra al midah. That's not something that, but we're not talking about. We're talking about, like, you know, it's like things that are not abusive, but it's not nice. It's like a little bit over the top. And I could have a big hakpad that I could get braggis at the guy, I could get very upset, and I can make a big federal case out of it. It's not necessarily scarring me for life. It's not something that I'm, you know, it could go either way. The Torah is saying, be generous with other people. Don't be so medactic on other people's midas. On your own midas, you have to be medactic. You can't go in and say, okay, fine, I'll be, you know, I'm chilled with other people. I hope other people are chilled with. No, you have to be medactic on your midas. And when we speak about midas, it's not just midas in the sense of, in the sense of character traits and morals. It's also midas of, the same word as the measurements, the business that we're doing, the dealings that we have with other people, whether it's the midas taivas or midas rice, or whether it's the midas that we're talking about, the eben shleima, the eifa shleima, all of that is lacha. You have to be very medactic in your own. Your own store has to have perfect measurements. Your own midas have to be perfect. When it comes to other people, again, not that if they're over the top bad, there you could have a taina, maybe you should have a taina, but things that are like, you're not so happy with a person's behavior. Your roommate is a little bit, you know, not so nice to you. He could be nicer. He's nicer to other people. You could make a big deal about it. Just let it go. If you can deal with it, try to deal with it. And this is true for family members, and it's true for rabbeim, and it's true for talmidim, and it's true for people, employers, employees. Just try to, like, live with a little bit of wiggle room. Don't be so medactic. On yourself, l'cha, you have to be medactic. But on other people's dealings with you, try to like overlook it. This is going to be a very valuable lesson for you when you get married. Because in marriage, there's a lot of things that, you know, you're not always going to be so happy about. Your wife's not going to be so happy about. You know, sometimes you're, you know, things happen and misunderstandings, and you came home and the other person wasn't so, you know, nice to you when you came home, said something, you know, gave you a criticism that you didn't like so much. So you could either make a very big deal, blow it up and make a very big problem, or you could say, okay, listen, just be mevater. Be mevater. On yourself, you have to be perfect. You have to be on yourself very makbid. But on your wife, on your family, on your kids, on your roommates, be mevater, be easygoing. And I think that's why the Torah is saying, l'cha, 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 because it's for you, this din. But for others, when other people are doing things to you, just overlook it. Live with it. Fagin, don't be so medactic with everything. And that's going to make your life a whole lot easier, a lot more pleasant. You'll have more friends. You'll have more better relationships because you're not that guy that's always getting upset about everything. Be mevater. Getting back to the Vilna Gaon, what in the world does the Vilna Gaon have to do with Evan Shlema, perfect weights? The Vilna Gaon was not a businessman. If the Vilna Gaon's parsha was about Tyra, I would understand that if somehow his name was Marumaz and Vizais HaTayra Shesamaisha, some, you know, it has to have some connection. What's the Vilna Gaon Shaychas, this parsha? Bothered me. But there is one very, very famous quote that the Vilna Gaon was Mechadish. And the Vilna Gaon, it's in his Pirush on Mishlei, 1 year in Yeshiva, we gave a Vad 1 year on his Pirush on Mishlei. It's absolutely phenomenal. If you want to learn Mishlei, Proverbs of Shlomo HaMelech, which is itself an amazing limud. But if you want to really learn it with the Vilna Gaon's Pirush, we have a whole Pirush on amazing Pirush of the Vilna Gaon on Mishlei, a very famous Pirush. All the Bali Musar use many, many Yesaidis from the Vilna Gaon's Pirush on Mishlei. But there's one, I think, standout Vart that the Vilna Gaon says about a Pasuk in Mishlei. And basically, the Vilna Gaon says an amazing, amazing thing. He says, Ki Masha Adam Chai. The purpose of a man's life. What's the purpose of a man's life? You'd think the Vilna Gaon would continue. Liman HaTorah. The Vilna Gaon represented Liman HaTorah. He knew everything. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal-Peh, Nigla, Nistar. There's nothing that the Vilna Gaon did not know. Kol Razlei, honestly, there was no secret of the Torah that the Vilna Gaon did not know. He not only did he know Torah, he knew all the sciences. He knew music. He knew geometry. He wrote a kuntres, perhaps, on geometry. He knew he was a bucky in everything, in all the sciences of the world, all the chachmas of the world. So you'd think that the Vilna Gaon would say, you know why a person's alive? To master shas, to master paiskim, to be able to have fluency in every single part of Kol HaTorah Kula, like we know Rashi, like we know Ashrei. That's how you would. That's how you'd expect the Vilna Gaon to continue. But that's not what he says. He says the reason that a person is alive, who kidei lishbar hamida sholei shavar adhena, it's in order to break our bad midas, in order to break the midas that we have not broken until now. V'lachein sarach tamid lischazek, and that's why you have to always be mechazek in your midas. You have to never rest on your laurels. You might be a very nice guy. You might have very good midas, but that should never suffice. You should always try to perfect your midas more and more and more, to make your midas as sterling as possible. And if you don't work on your midas and you just let your midas be what they are, lama loy chayim. What's the point of life? There is no point of life, says the Vilna Gaon, unless a person is misak in his midas. Unless a person fixes his midas, there is no point to our life. This is what the Vilna Gaon, Rav Shach, when he used to quote this Vilna Gaon, would say, it would be mishtaim. He says, like, this is the Vilna Gaon's definition of life. The Vilna Gaon should be talking about Talmud Torah. The Vilna Gaon was a shtick Torah. He was all he was Torah. And he's talking about Midas. He wasn't a Mashkiach in Yeshiva. He wasn't. What's he talking about Midas for? The Vilna Gaon, that was life? And Rav Shach says, yes, you see that if the Vilna Gaon himself is saying that the entire definition of life, v'im lav lama lechaim, what do you need life for, if not for what? If not for Tikkun HaMidos. That shows the absolute importance of working on one's midas. Another thing that the Vilna Gaon says is that a person has to be mispainin on himself, v'lishka les midaisa b'meiznei tzedek. Person has to always weigh his midas on a balanced scale, on its scale. Mamish, the same parsha of Mishkalis. The midas, the mida, the physical weight and measure, and the midas that we have, our mannerisms, our behavior, our standards, our ethical expectations, those are all midas. And if a person has to always weigh these on a very delicate scale, and a person also has to try to move and shift his midas from bad to good. In fact, there's a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yudalad that says that a definition of a Talmud Chacham is somebody that's Yedeya Lahapeh Chalukai. He knows how to turn his garment inside out. And the Vilna Gaon says, you know what that means? What does it mean? Talmud Chacham knows how to, you got one of those jackets that are interchangeable, that on this side is black and this side is blue. What does it mean? You flip your jacket around. What does that mean? So he says that it means you have to take your bad midas and know how to use it for the good. Every midah, as we know, could be used for good and bad. There's midas of kas. Kas is a terrible midah, but there's times that you could use kas for the good. Kas could be used for the good. You have to be able, like if you want to be a kana, you're upset about something, somebody was mevazeh Talmud Chacham, that's a good time to start getting angry. There are times that you should not be angry. There are times that you should be angry. There are times that you should not be arrogant. Then there is times that perhaps you should be a little arrogant. There are times that you should have, that you should be generous. And there's times that you should not be generous. And there is every single time, that's what a Talmud Chacham has to know. When do I take my midas and use them as is, and when do I flip them over and use them in a different way? And the Vilna Gaon is teaching us this. That means that he lived this, that means he believed this, and this means that this is a major part of the Vilna Gaon's legacy. To teach us how to have Evan Shlema, you have to have perfect midas. This is the midah of the Vilna Gaon. Evan Shlema is what the Vilna Gaon would tell you. If you ask him, what is your legacy to us in life? It's teaching you what life is. What is life? Life is always to work on your midas. Evan Shlema, you should always have perfect midas. Perfect midas in business, but not just in business, more broadly, perfect midas taivis. To work on your midas always, to constantly perfect one's midas. And you know, you look around the room, everyone here is like really good people. And we're fine, we're nice, we're ethical, we're honest, we're good people. But there's always more to do. And if we stop doing more tikkun on our midas, if we stop coming to Musar, learning Musar, coming to Vadin, coming to Shmuzin, learning on your own, going to Sichot, all these things are going to help our midas, break our bad midas, and improve our good midas. And this is what the Vilna Gaon would tell us that he wants us to do. Im lav lama lechaim, what's the point of life? That means that he's telling us, this is what I am. I am as much as a perfectionist as I am in Torah, but beyond Torah, you have to work on your midas. The most basic thing a person has to do in life is work on his midas, tikkun hamidas, and if not lama lechaim, there's no point in us living. We have no point in life if we're not constantly improving on our midas. And that's a very important insight. This parsha is shayach to the Vilna Gaon because this is what the Vilna Gaon's legacy to us is, to understand the importance of midas. So I want to end with a story that's an amazing story. I don't know if I've said it. If I have, I don't think I've said it recently. But it's just such an amazing story that teaches us how important it is to rein in our bad midas and to really try to perfect our ability to be good people, to be mevater, to always have a good eye towards somebody else and to never make other people feel bad. Everybody knows that there's the best Rambam today on the market, and for the past maybe 30 years, has been the Frankel Rambam. Frankel Rambam was it's called the Frankel Rambam because it was published by a Yid by the name of Reb Shapsi Frankel. He was a very wealthy man. I think he did not have children, and he was married, he decided to dedicate his life to making a perfect Rambam, to publishing a perfect Rambam. When I was a kid, the Rambams were like the old Rambams that you see on the shelf, that, you know, that if all the Frankels are gone, then you'll b'dieva take that Rambam. And that was the Rambam. That was the Rambam that I have at home. You know, I have the Frankel Rambam also, but like that was the Rambam that you got as bar mitzvah presents. I have Rabbeim that would not use the Frankel Rambam because, you know, they were used to the Tzuras Hadaf of the old. That was Rambam. They knew exactly where all the halachas of the Rambam was based on the page, the pagination, and they didn't. All of a sudden, Shapsi Frankel comes and like completely does a new pagination of the Rambam. It's jarring for somebody that's a real Talmud Chacham that knows the old Rambam. Imagine if I would take the Vilna Shas and I would completely make it into another Shas, and now Pei Ches is now Pei Zayin and Pei Tes, and what's going on? I can't use this. This is not the normal Shas. I need the normal Shas. But be that as it may, with the passage of time, the Shapsi Frankel Rambam became the Rolls-Royce of Rambams. It was the Rambam of choice. Besides for going around the world and finding old Kisvei Yad and trying to find the most perfect girsa of the Rambam, and on the side he has all the old girsas, the new girsas, all the, you know, which knocks out a lot of the Torah of the Rambam, by the way, because, you know, a lot of the Torah is built on diukim, on the words of the Rambam, and then all of a sudden you find the Rambam didn't really write that. He wrote that was a mistake, and the earlier Girsa had a much different version. Then obviously that creates problems for a lot of the Torah that was written on the Rambam. I'll give you an example. I had a Rebbe who was a genius of geniuses in Eretz Yisrael, and he said that that in the Rambam Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, Rambam Hilchas Klei HaMikdash has about, the as you'd expect, the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. And then he also speaks about Kehanim, you know, dinim of Kehanim. He also put a lot of the dinim of the Kehanim in the Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. So why would the Rambam put it in the Hilchas Klei HaMikdash? It doesn't make any sense. So he said, I always had Taira, I always had a Vart, that the Kehanim themselves were the Klei HaMikdash. Meaning there was an Arun, there was a Kiyar, there was a Chatzai Tzuris, and then there was also the Kehanim. Kehanim were also like utensils of the Beis Hamikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used them as tools in the Beis Hamikdash. Beautiful Vart. He says the Vart was great, and I got a lot of mileage out of that Vart until Shapsi Frankel came along, because now he found that it's not called Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, it's called Hilchas Klei HaMikdash V'Avdim Bay. The laws of the Klei HaMikdash and the people that work in the Beis HaMikdash, that blew apart his whole bar. The whole tire went out the window. So that's an example of, you know, how Shapsi Frankel came and like made a whole mapecha in the learning of the Rambam. And I think he started this project in 1970. I believe the first volume came out in 1975. And he was constantly there was clamoring for more and more, because it was such an amazing, you know, after the first volume was printed, everyone said, this is how we have to learn Rambam. And besides for that, there's also on the back of the Frankel Rambam, Sefer HaMafteach, which is unbelievable. That's besides for, he also like is malakid a lot of interest in people, but he has a Mafteach that you can basically cross-reference all of the Torah of the Rambam. So if you want to see, you know, who speaks about this Rambam, you don't have to like be a bucky and call it Torah Kula. You don't have to be a brisker. You just like go to the back and you see, oh, Reb Chaim speaks about it, the Ar Sameach speaks about this, and the Merkava Samishna speaks about this, and you basically have everything that you want in the back. It's an amazing resource. So when Reb Shapsi Frankel was looking, he was scouring the world to find manuscripts of the Rambam, of the Rambam. Anything related to the Rambam, he got it. He was gathering. He's spending a fortune of money to try to find every single, you know, every manuscript, every early ksav yad, whatever he could get his hands on. That's what he needed to put out this masterpiece of the Frankel Rambam. there was a manuscript that he found out that existed in the Egyptian, in a museum in Egypt. And he said, all right, I have to get this man. He called they said, no way, we're not selling you this. We can't part with it. And I guess they didn't let him look at it either, make photocopies. He said, and he wrote them letters, and he would visit them, and he would do everything to try to get this an early manuscript of the Rambam. He really, really wanted it. Finally, he broke them, and they didn't give him the whole thing. They gave him part for an exorbitant amount of money. He came up with the money. He bought it. He was so happy. He brought it back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, and it was on his desk. It's on his desk, and he was so happy. It was like a simcha in the air, and his assistant, one of the scholars, and you need major Talmidei Chachamim to be working on this project. So one of these scholars, one of these assistants, was like in the room. He says that the simcha was palpable in the room. Finally, this long-lost manuscript of the Rambam was here. It's on our table, on our desk, and it was amazing. This guy, not Shapsi Frank, but his assistant, happened to have been drinking a cup of coffee. And you know where the story is going. He, by accident, spills this cup of coffee all over this ancient manuscript of the Rambam. And the ancient manuscript of the Rambam, like, shrivels up in front of their eyes. And it sort of, like, just vanishes. They hadn't made a photograph. His mama just came in. It just arrived. And this is like, the only remnant of this Rambam in the world. And this shmagegi, like, spills this manuscript, spills coffee all over the manuscript. They're just watching it, like, just vanish. And I don't know if you were Shapsi Frankel, I don't know what you would do. I know what I would do if I was Shapsi Frankel. Or at least I would really think about doing things. And Shapsi Frankel leaves the room. And this says, okay, I have no job anymore. The police are probably coming in a 911. Shmira, maybe. Like, something is going to happen that's not good. And Shapsi Frankel comes back in with a fresh cup of coffee. He says, you spilt your coffee. Here's another glass of coffee. Here's another cup of coffee. He says, what about the manuscript? He says, obviously, the Abisha didn't want this manuscript to be published. I don't know why. You know, he thought it was important that it should be published. The Abisha had different plans. Not my cheshbon. He says, you think this just happens by Kroy? It just happens by itself? If this happened, that means the Rabbeinu Shlom does not want this particular manuscript to be published. But in the meantime, you spilled your cup of coffee, and here's another cup of coffee. I don't think I could think of a better example of Evan Shlema Yelucha. Evan Shlema Yelucha, that to have such perfect, impeccable midas. Such perfect, impeccable midas. This is why we were put here. Now, is it easy to do? No, you have to be a superhero sometimes to do it. Sometimes people are really annoying you and they're ticking you off and they're disturbing you by davening, or they're disturbing your learning, or they come into the room at night and they don't have the seichel or the midas, and you really want to, like, erupt. And maybe, you know, it wouldn't be crazy to erupt, but Shapsi Frankel could have erupted. But he held it in. He was mevater. He learned the art of Evan Shlema. And if you don't work on Tikkun HaMidos, Lama Lechem, if you would have acted like angry and after years and years of work and maybe millions of dollars invested to have this happen, there's no excuse for it. What are you drinking coffee around? He could have gone crazy. And we all probably would have gone crazy. But if a person is a grunik, and he's working on his midas and understands that if my midas are the same as I was, as my midas were when I was a kid, I'm still acting like with a temper tantrum every day, and I'm still acting, you know, I'm makbid on every little thing. You touch my toy, you touch my desk, you touch my car, and I'm always crazy about every little thing, and I'm a stickler. So even if you feel you're justified, and who's to say whether you are or you're not, but that's not why we were put here. We were put here to, like, control our temper, to rein our temper in, to control our midas, to fix our midas, so that every day, we're not going to be perfect today, but we could get a little bit better, a little more patient. And if we're able to misaken our midas, then we are validating our life. Our very arichas yamim is totally on midas and mishkalas, not just the physical midas mishkal is to be honest in business, but to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with our midas, to be honest with other people, to give people the benefit of the doubt, to give people respect and honor and dignity. That's what midas are all about. And as good as our midas may be, we should never feel that we're perfect. No one has perfect midas. Even the Vilna Gaon, who probably had the most perfect of midas of anyone in the last 500 years, he felt that if I'm not working on my midas, then lama lichayim, I have no point in living. When your midas are perfect, that's the day you die. There's no point in you being alive anymore. We're a work in progress. We have to keep on working on our midas, and this is the perfect time of year to think about this. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to be maver al midaisav, to be able to not be so makbid on things, to be able to give more and to fagin more and to be able to just forgive and give people. Maybe we've had tainus on people throughout the year. Get over it. It's enough. You've made your point. They know that you're upset. They know that you don't think that they're the greatest person in the world. But now we're getting closer to Rosh Hashanah. It's a time to think, go through our Rolodex, and think about the people that we've wronged and that have wronged us, and try to make amends. Try to be mevater. And if you're mavral midaisav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mavirin lo elpsha. This is, if you want the you know, everyone's looking for schoolless Rosh Hashanah time, how to get a good din going, how to win in din. The greatest school of perhaps is what the Gemara says. You don't need Kabbalistic schools. You just need what the Gemara tells. The Gemara says, Rava's teaching us that if you are Mavral Midas, if you have the ability to overcome your Midas, your bad Midas, and you're upset about something, but you don't give it back, you don't dole it out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond in kind. Okay, if he's not going to be so medactic on every little thing, I'm also not going to be medactic with him. It's a gevaldik, a lesson taught in this parsha Kisetze as we're getting closer to Rosh Hashanah. These parshas are not coincidental. They are gearing us up for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippurim, to be able to not have any Evan that's not Shlema, Eifa that's not Shlema. Make sure that we're having Evan va'oven, Eifa va'eifa. All our midas physically should be whole, and all of our midas spiritually should be in the most perfect, pristine condition, and this is the time to do it. And amidst Hashem, we will be justified for being given another life, because we recognize that if we don't work on our midas, then Rachman Litzlan, Lama Lichayim. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi. I say thank you.